Hey everyone. I know I look a little crazy today. We keep joking because we have a new light called the sun, and it is like literally the sun, and it's right on me. So if it looks harsh, it's because we just haven't been able to position it correctly. I think it's a little weird in here. So anyway, let me try to get you guys situated so you can see all the things. And then let me tell you about what we're going to be doing today. Let me go to the calendar because I'm not sure which group I have tonight. We have the teachers getting coached tonight, and Coach Kathy is in the chat. I may be bringing Kathy on. We're going to see how much chat we've got going on over there. Basically, anybody can be on this call. There's going to, as we all know, thoughts do not discriminate on a circumstance. So very often what happens, guys, is that we think that like a thought is very specific, like my circumstance is so specific, and you will have the same shitty thought that everybody else does about any other kind of circumstance out there. So pay attention whether you're a teacher or you're not, and just see, is this thought something that I think, and is it creating similar feelings, or do I have a similar thought creating the same feeling with the same action line? Because honestly, circumstances don't matter near as much as we think they do. So if you all think about this, a circumstance is neutral. Like, it doesn't really mean anything. It's like this pen, like home for 3 weeks, whatever it is, and you'll have a thought about it. Like, this is the worst pen ever. I'll never be the same again if it runs out of ink. Like, you can have a devastating thought about anything. Sounds ridiculous, but that's the point. Very often we have ridiculous thoughts about things and we don't even know we're having them until we're willing to look at them, we're willing to question them, and we decide, do I want to keep it or not? Like, you get to keep it if you want to, but it's all about making the decision, do I want to keep it or not? And the other thing that I want to say is, we are going to be focusing so hard the next few weeks with you guys on understanding the difference between your thoughts and the facts. Your thoughts and the facts. There is so much relief that happens for you when you can pull apart what you think is happening to you versus your thoughts about what you think is happening to you. Like, when you really can understand, I had my own coaching call today. So I get coached, and right now my coach is actually coaching me daily. So that I am, like, if we don't coach in person, we're doing extra calls. She's, like, reaching out to me in texts and stuff, and I'm sending her information every single day about how my brain is working. And we clean it out every day. And it's amazing to me how often I just need to clean out some of the same thoughts. And what I noticed was, after a week of talking to her almost daily and talking to her, like, typing wise daily, that I was catching myself so many times, like, describing something and saying, and I really understand why I'm so frustrated. I think it's because I keep thinking this. I transitioned really fast from thinking that what people were saying or what was happening around me or whatever is just so hard. Oh my God, it just caught me off guard. It's like I had all these thoughts. And now I'm able to really distinguish, okay, I'm at a point where I want to decide what is my misery that I want to keep and what is the misery that I'm ready to let go of. Okay, let's do this. If you want to get coached, will you please raise your hand and I will call on you. And remember, this is for people who are now that are our teachers. So let's try to keep the, like, if you don't have, like, I don't care if you're a teacher who's eating, but I want the calls to be very focused on teachers. I also want to say one last thing. We may use some of these in the podcast, so you may hear yourself. I will not be saying your name. Like, we won't start it with, like, your actual name. You will not be seen. None of that stuff. So if you're okay, like, make sure you're willing to be okay with your voice being on the podcast. I'm not guaranteeing everybody's going to be on it, but these calls, these special calls this week, like, I got a lot of people out there suffering and they are bombarding our email system. Like, and we can't turn them all away. And the best way that I can serve a lot of people is to seriously start putting out some content in the public podcast that might help them. So just know that. Mama Mac, you're first. We may have to turn your videos off anyway because Zoom right now is so busy with new clients. Like my school, my son's school is going to be using Zoom. That the video sometimes slows us up. Okay, let's see if we can do video. Like I said, we won't use your face on anything.
Okay. Hi,
how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. All right. What are we coaching on today?
Okay. Well, I took your time management class because I am a teacher and now I have my two young boys under 10 at home. And they're, of course, every time I sit down to do something, I can't concentrate it. They interrupt me. And I went through the goals and my strategies. And I think the biggest thing that I need help with is my modeling. And I know you've been modeling like all the time, but I feel like, again, I'm a hands-on person. So if I actually feel like I have you talking to me and getting through the model, that it would really help me and help me move forward in this situation that we're in.
Okay. So do you have a model you want to work through?
I have, like, I have migraines. And okay. So I know that has nothing to do with teaching, but the migraines, and I always think that I need to eat. I need to feed my sickness, you know.
Why do you need to feed a migraine? What? Tell me what happens with a migraine where some food makes it better.
I don't know. And
that's
so,
what I, like, because I, like, if you can, like, legit tell me that it helps a migraine, that'd be like, okay, let's have a migraine protocol. And, you know, if it's going to lessen the symptoms and stuff. But if it's just, I feel shitty about my migraine and I, you know, here's what I want to do. Not suffer with my migraines. So I'm just going to eat my way through it. No, it's a no. Okay.
So I thought that would be a great model for me to practice and then incorporate other things later on into it.
Okay.
So I hope that's the right type of question.
Sure. No, I'm not going to boot you off.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Let's just pray my new black markers are working.
I find it good.
Does it look all right? So much better.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So what is the circumstance you think? Like, are you wanting to work about the eating?
I think so. More about the headache, because I get a migraine. I think that would be
right. But I mean, you want to work the eating as in on the action line. You don't want that to be the action anymore.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. So that's what I want to do. So we want to put, hey, Chris, can you give me something to drink? I've got to quit eating nuts with lunch. They always get in my throat and then here I am choking. And I swear, I know y'all think, oh my God, is the queen going down with Corona? It's like, no, it's almonds.
I'm like, oh, there's a dry cough. There's a dry cough.
All right. So eat. All right. And then is it migraine?
Yes.
Okay. So I have a migraine. I don't know how to spell it, but we're going to go with that. All right. So what is your thoughts around your migraines when they come? I just need something. Choking.
Here comes one. Gosh, my day's ruined.
My day's ruined.
I'm not going to be able to do anything. I got to lay here and wait for it to subside.
Okay. Well, so what? Why do you need to eat though? This is the thing. Do you need to lay there and wait? It might be true.
Yes.
Okay.
Take my meds and wait.
Okay. Take my meds and wait. That's the model that we want to be having.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
Are you going to take your meds and wait if you're sitting there going, oh my gosh, my day is ruined?
No. I'm going to be like, let me go to the fridge. My thought is, let me go to the fridge.
That's your action. I'm going to the fridge. It's because, oh my God, my day is ruined. And a host of other ones. I'm just going to say, we're going to work this model. And then what I would suggest that you do is you would take a migraine coming and you just let your brain just like in a nice order. You're a teacher. You probably would love this. A list where you're just listing in order. Like, sometimes I think this, sometimes I think this, sometimes I think this, like all the things.
Okay.
And then what I want you to do is I want you to highlight the ones that you actually think will work. We're not going to try to get you to fall in love with a migraine. But we need to get you out of being a disaster pants when it happens.
Right.
Because I'm thinking that the eating is not really fixing it.
No.
It's maybe it takes your mind off of it.
Yes. I think that is. It's a distraction.
It's a distraction from this, though. This is what I want you to think about.
Okay.
The distraction is not going to be from the pain. Like, because here's what we know. if you need, if it's so bad that you're not going to be able to have a relationship with it to where you can have pain, you'll always eat. We need to be able to have like migraine pain in the circumstance line, and you have thoughts about that that allow you to go through the discomfort. Right now you're going through hell.
Right.
This is what I call emotional suffering. Oh my God, my day is ruined. And how does that feel?
I'm sorry.
How does that feel?
Not good. Once, if you sit in that thought, it does not feel good.
Like, right. But you know, like migraine pain is not going to feel good, but what does that thought feel like?
Well, it doesn't feel devastating. It doesn't feel,
you feel helpless.
Not totally, but right. Sometimes, yeah. When it
comes, well, that's what I want you to really think about, the thought we're having. Oh my God, my day is ruined.
The thought is just, I guess here it goes again.
But that's a thought. I want you to drop into, like, close your eyes for a second.
Take a deep breath.
This is really important. A lot of you, like this, my coach does this to me all the time.
Okay.
Think about the last time you had a migraine and your knee-jerk reaction was, oh my God, my day is ruined. Now, like literally go in your body. What is the feeling that you're feeling?
Overwhelm, exhaustion, devastated.
Yeah, devastated. I think that's the actual feeling. Okay. I think, like, when you have overwhelmed, that's probably going to be you thinking about all the things you're not going to be able to do. Okay. Like, the migraine's fucking with me. I can't do these things. Or, you know, that's another model. So, like, when a really good tip for you, since you wanted some model help on this, is when you have, like, when you're listing out different feelings, like you listed overwhelmed. What was the other one you listed?
Exhausted.
Like, think about the thought that's going to drive exhaustion. Like, I can't handle this, or this is too much, or I just wish this wasn't happening. Like, there's going to be like all these different thoughts with different feelings. Every one of them is a model you need to work.
Okay.
So that you get to see, oh, here's everything that I think about migraine pain. No wonder I am eating. Because if I'm thinking all of this stuff about migraine pain, that is what's so painful. That's my emotional suffering. We always seek food for emotional suffering. If all it was literally, if you just thought it's a migraine, I'm going to take my medicine, I'm going to lay here, and as the pain goes through my body, I'm just going to breathe and I know it will end. It always does. And would you be run into the pantry?
No.
What would you be, what do you think you would be feeling in that moment? Like, how would your presence be?
I don't want to say totally relaxed, but I could say, I guess more at peace with it. I don't have to.
What about accepting?
Accepting. I think that's a great word.
I think that's what when it comes to physical pain, especially, a lot of times, like, we're trying to move from feeling like when we're devastated and we eat, we ruin more things. And we don't fix it. Like, we're not fixing anything. So it can be, we ruin more things. It can be, I fix nothing. Cause you're not really fixing it. You're still going to have the migraine for just as long.
Right.
Now you're going to not get your weight loss goals. You're probably going to sit around and wonder, how the fuck am I going to ever be able to lose weight if I keep eating my way through migraines? You know, like, it just, you know, it spirals.
That's the truth.
Yeah. So, but one of the things we have to be really careful about is when we think about pain, physical pain, one of the things that we want to do is, like, that's going to be physical hurt. So we want to be really careful about being like, all right, if I'm going to live with this, I don't need emotional hurt too. So where am I emotionally hurting myself over this? And where can I get into a place of like, I don't have to love having migraines. I don't need to sit there and be like, kumbaya. But I can be accepting, like, I'm doing the best thing I can for myself right now. As soon as this is over, I will make the most of the rest of the day. Is a very different thought than, oh my God, my day is ruined.
Right. Absolutely.
And then even if you can't get there, you just take this list of thoughts you have and you say something like, oh my God, my day is ruined, is something I think because I'm just in physical pain. Because if you leave it here, you believe it. And that's why you're eating. When you move down to the action line, you've decided this is true.
True. Okay. Well, I think that will help me because that's something I really relate to. And I think working through it will help me with other models that I need to do.
I would do one on them two boys. Like this thought you have, like, I can't concentrate.
Right. I mean, wow.
It feels true, doesn't it?
It does. Yes, ma'am. It does. And I got a schedule, though, on the board for them, and I got my time blocking down, so I'm working.
Let me caution you.
Yes.
You are expecting the action line. Like, I'm expecting my time blocking in our schedule to fix my thoughts about my boys.
Yeah.
The model doesn't work this way.
We need to rethink that.
Yeah. It's like now it's the same thing, exactly the same. What I want you to do is I want you to put two boys and they come in every fucking second.
Preach.
And our thought cannot be, if you're going to make it through the next few weeks, I can't concentrate, or you're going to get nothing done. It won't matter how much time blocking you have done down here, because it will never work. You won't follow the time blocking schedule if you're determined that you can't concentrate. It does not mean we got to level that thought up. Like, it's going to have to be something that you're going to need to repair the relationship here. Like, this is temporary.
I like that.
It's okay to be annoyed. Like, telling yourself, this is just part of what we're doing right now. We're all figuring it out. Like, those thoughts will move you to that action line where you're just like, you're teaching them the schedule. You're doing that stuff. If you sit there and you're like, I can't concentrate and stuff, you're either going to throw away the time blocking or you're going to yell at them and say, didn't you see my schedule?
I say, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and then when we yell at our kids about the schedule, they're like, I don't want to go near that thing. That looks painful.
Yeah, okay. You're right. I think that would be a great model to work on also.
Yeah, look, I encourage all of you right now that are going to be at home doing your gig. Take it from someone who has spent summer upon summer with a child from the age of 5 until 17 working from home. And every summer is different. He's got a different level of attention that he needs, right? You have to decide that you cannot have unrealistic expectations. Like, how old are your kids?
10 and 7.
Yeah. Like, you're going to need to tell yourself a million times, they're 10 and 7, and we're going to get through this. Because we cannot, as parents, sit around and expect our kids, but like, but I'm time blocking. Don't you see the time blocking? They're 10 and 7, and that's a high ask. Right. They're going to have to get used to it. And I think a lot of us are going to have to be, like, this is what's going to teach us as parents how to truly be patient with our children.
That's definitely something. That's why I love this model, because it is. We love our kids, but whenever we get tangled up into this, I mean, I want to go easy on them. I know they're just kids. I know they need our love and our time. And
look how your migraine model is going to be the same. Accepting. We're going to be accepting our migraine pain. we're going to be accepting of our kids who are going to be 10 and 7 and out of their routine and all the things. The only difference between the 10-year-old, how old are you?
I'm 40.
The only difference between a 40-year-old and a 10-year-old is you throw your fits in the pantry and they throw theirs out loud.
True.
Same thing. You're going to have your own emotional stuff. And it's like, we all going to have to be accepting, and we're going to have to think about this. Like, we're getting through it the best we can. Sometimes it's okay for mamas to be annoyed. That's accepting of you.
Right.
Sometimes it's accepting of them being kids. Sometimes it's just accepting of the situation we have. Sometimes it's accepting of a migraine. But it's like, I think for a lot of us right now, accepting might be one of the most powerful emotions that we can tap into, because it allows us to give ourselves a break, a relief from the thoughts we're having that are so overwhelming right now.
And I'll type that word into word hippo.
Yes. Come up with all kinds of fancy variations of the word, of the exception.
Yes. Yes, ma'am. Well, thank you, Corinne. I appreciate it.
You're so welcome.
All right. Take care. Bye.
All right. Linda Kay. Linda, are you there?
I am.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. What can I coach you on?
Well, I'm a teacher. I've been teaching a long time, but I did what a lot of teachers in my career don't do. I switched schools and districts and gave up a job to start kind of all over again in a different school at a different grade level this year.
Yeah.
And I teach with a lot of very young teachers. So it's nice to know my brain still works, which I appreciate. But part of what changes when I found you, I had lost 70 pounds. I'm a cancer survivor and wanted to get myself kind of going in the right direction. And when I lost the 70 pounds on the restrictive program that I was on, they didn't teach us how to live that way. Right. And what you said really resonated with me. And so I wanted to learn how to do that. I'm super nervous.
Okay. A lot of people are.
Anyway,
I think there are tons of people here. There's not. So,
when I switch jobs, it's been really exciting. But one of the things that I, notice is that I've always, put myself kind of on the back burner. Every time something new has happened in our lives, like, you know, we got married, my goals kind of went on the back burner. We had kids, we did the kids first before I worried about that. And now I've got the new job. Well, I got that under control and I'm in a good trajectory trying to lose the 10 pounds that I had gained. And now coronavirus happens and everything is distance learning and all of that happening.
And so you can't lose 10 pounds while doing distance learning.
For some reason, my brain wanted to go that way. It's not, I'm not going to let it.
Because this is what all of our brains are doing. Coronavirus. There's no way in hell I can lose weight right now, which is also in parentheses. It says coronavirus. My actual thought is time to eat. That'll fix it.
Yeah. And it makes no sense.
It doesn't make sense. That's why we do the model on it. That's why we want to look at it. Because tell me this, like, so you're going to be doing the distance learning, you're going to learn all the new technology, you're going to do all the things, right?
Right.
It's so funny because today I literally had the conference call for the parents for our school. They, God love you teachers figuring out Zoom. I was just like, oh my God, we are so good at what we do. I would have fired someone if they'd had this call. Just to see that. But they were just like, oh my God, we can all see each other. And then like, we spent 20 minutes marveling at the Zoom technology. And I'm like, I got a call. What are we going to talk about? But this is what I want to tell you. When you are figuring all of this out, how much time is losing weight going to take?
Well, it shouldn't take any extra time than, I mean,
it should take less time than overeating.
Oh, good point.
Because if you're eating, you are not figuring out distance learning. If you're overeating, you're spending your evenings feeling like shit about the reason why you can't lose 10 pounds, not thinking creatively about distance learning, not thinking about what a badass you are for learning all the things. You're thinking, oh my God, I'm having to learn all the things. Like, you're going to have one model where you're going to learn so much stuff and you're going to be amazing and you'll have no time to revel in it because you'll be so upset at the way you're eating.
That's a good point. That's a good point. How do I deal with, or what's the model that I could work on? One of the issues that I've been having is I feel kind of miffed. So last weekend, my son was supposed to get married on Friday. We had to have, we decided to make the best of the situation because the wedding got canceled and we had a Zoom wedding actually.
So did Coach MJ.
My
daughter got married on Saturday. So that's cool. I mean, it's cool. But you know, you can be miffed and disappointed about that.
Right. And I got through all that, but where it's coming out against myself, I guess, is this is also supposed to be my spring break. And I'm waking up in the morning to my phone blowing up and my computer blowing up.
But this isn't supposed to be your spring break. That's the painful thought.
Okay.
There's a really good podcast. I think it's Brooke's podcast. It may be today's. I'm not 100% sure. I've listened to so many podcasts. The biggest problem all of us are having right now is that we have a thought of, it was supposed to be this way. I was supposed to be on vacation. I was supposed to be at the beach. I was supposed to be doing these things. You were never supposed to be doing any of it. You had a vacation planned was the circumstance.
Oh, okay.
Spring break was on the calendar. Nobody was ever supposed to be there. Otherwise, we would all be still doing our life. The most painful thought we have is that we think something went wrong because our future plans didn't come to fruition. They were always a thought and they were always a dream and they didn't become a reality until they'd been completed in a model.
Okay.
So thinking that I was supposed to be there feels like what?
Oh, it feels awful. I feel defeated.
Defeated. I was supposed to be there. It feels so true for many of us. And what we have to do, so we're just going to put spring break here. Tell me what you're doing about that. Like when you're feeling defeated about all this, so you're like getting pissed at texts. What else?
Well, last 2 days I buffered with food. I don't want to do that anymore.
Ate some food.
That didn't help.
Yeah, it for sure it didn't like say, oh, I didn't realize Linda had a snack. She's now on spring break. Well, quit texting her. She had the snack that fixed it all.
When you say it out loud and I hear you do it to other people and I think, oh, it makes so much sense. And then I just think, oh gosh, where's my brain at?
Your brain is this is why we have to model it. And this is why we do coaching calls on it and stuff. So you guys can hear it so that you can be like, oh, this is why I keep eating because I keep thinking I was supposed to be on spring break.
Yeah.
And what really happened is spring break was on the calendar and that's all that happened. And now I'm doing this and that's all that's happened. And if you can come back to that place and keep reminding yourself of that, because that's the real truth. This will feel true, but there's another truth out there. And I think what a lot of you aren't doing is giving all the truths equal volume in your brain. We're only on this one.
And I think you're exactly right.
Yeah. And if you keep reminding yourself of it, it doesn't mean like you, when you do this and you feel defeated and you remind yourself, but I really am supposed to be here because I am here. It makes you not have to eat. You're not as pissed. You're not doing angry texting and doing all that stuff. You're not getting annoyed all day because every text will remind you of where you were supposed to be. So right. all day long, you will experience defeat and anger and letdown. And unless right. you clean up this one thought, then everything that's not spring break related will tap on this. And then, of course, you're going to want to eat to get away from feeling so miserable. But the misery isn't that you're not on spring break. The misery is you keep thinking you're supposed to be somewhere else when you're right here.
Gosh, it makes so much sense.
Yeah. So anyway, the result becomes I'm not where I'm supposed to be.
Right. I'm bound and determined to be where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah. Well, and you have to decide, where are you supposed to be? Is it in a place in your mind that leaves you feel defeated? Or are you going to be where you're supposed to be, in a place that allows you to feel accepting, awareness, and gets you to your goals?
That one. That one.
That's the place that, like, if we're going to supposed to be somewhere, let's be exactly where the world's putting us right now and decide how we want to show up, and not decide on how we're going to show up based on being upset about what didn't happen.
Okay. On a side, I so appreciate that. On a side note, I teach fourth grade, and I have taught my fourth graders all year about every day you do 1% better. And on our Zoom call this morning, I told the kids, you know, this is going to be new for all of you. You don't know how to use this format, but we'll get better. And at least seven of them said, yeah, 1% better. So
that's awesome.
It works on all that. And I just need to not only have them say it, I need to remind myself of that as well.
Yeah. I will promise you, if you're exactly where you're supposed to be every day, like, this is where I'm supposed to be, don't indulge in thinking there's something else that was supposed to happen. You will be feeling better soon. You will start noticing your energy is changing. It doesn't mean that we have to be excited every minute about what's going on, but you will see your personal energy shift, and that's the point. You can keep feeling miffed if you want to, and you can keep feeling upset if you want to, but it just doesn't help you overall. And so allowing yourself to, like, have another option to feel is so empowering. Even if you don't go there automatically, and even if you don't get there fast, just knowing that you can do that is so empowering. It really shifts all your energy around. And you just don't need to eat when you're not feeling bad all the time at your own expense.
I can feel it in my chest right now. I mean, I can feel my own feelings about it go, well, of course, supposed to needs to go in the same category as should.
Yeah.
For me.
Right. I'm almost certain Kathy can look it up, but I think it was either Brooke's podcast today or yesterday. And it was really good. You listening to all of her, it's the Moving Forward series. All of them are really good. They're all about, now we've handled the chaos of coronavirus, now how are we going to move forward? What are we going to be doing? Because this is the week everybody starts moving forward. You know, kids are going to have to go to online classes, and there's, like, things that have to happen. And, you know, we can't just all sit around in shock, terror, and fear.
Right.
But we're going to end up, as I was talking about this to Chris the other day, I said, I really want to do some work with my clients and some of the people who haven't even joined yet, because they're going to wake up in 6 weeks and have to go back to work, and their clothes aren't going to fit, because they're going to sit and eat all the way through it if we're not mindful about what we're doing.
And that's my biggest thing right now, is I don't want to do that. I want to look at this as kind of a, wow, this is the time that I showed up for myself and I figured it out.
Yeah.
I just Marco Polo'd that to my accountability partner this morning about how it just kind of hit me that I never realized how much I buffered with putting myself out there for other people and forgetting, kind of like the whole oxygen mask thing, forgetting to put it on myself because I'm taking care of students, taking care of my own children, taking care of all of that. And I really, really have a goal of this 6 weeks being able to look back and saying, but first, before I answered all those texts, I was so proud of myself this morning because I finished my workout before I answered those yes. texts. I sat yes. down and did my plan and my TDL before I answered those texts. And I even Marco Polo'd her before. I did that. And that was one of the first days I've done that where I haven't allowed those to interrupt that normal routine. And I was really proud of myself.
There is going to be so much opportunity. Then, I mean, I want all of us to really think about this the next few weeks. There's so much opportunity ahead of us to be so proud of ourselves at the end of it. We have never been through a time like this where we get the opportunity to really step up for ourselves.
Right.
I mean, we thought we were a few weeks ago, but now we truly get to see the importance of having our own back, calming ourselves down, understanding the power of the mind management. At the end of the 6 weeks, we're all going to have a PhD in kicking ass.
Good.
That's all right. All right, lady. Well, thank you.
Thank you so very much. I was so scared.
You do that Zoom and just embrace all the technology. I will tell you a super secret tip. If you're doing your Zoom calls and you end up getting, Zoom is having some platform problems for all the teachers who are going to use Zoom right now. If you notice that the internet connection's bad, have everybody turn off their video but you. I know it's hard to let little kids sit around and not look at them, but they need to hear your voice. And so if nothing else happens, you on screen, them not on screen. That will clear up some of the bandwidth issues, okay?
Yeah, I heard you say that before. So I actually told the parents that this morning. And really appreciate that.
You're welcome.
And I just can't tell you how much I appreciate you because you do what I've never heard before. I mean, I've never, ever, I was the only redhead in a family of blondes. I was the only heavy kid amongst all of the thin ones. And there's many things in your story that I relate to. But I don't have to have that define me any longer. I like who I am, and I like who I am more and more all the time. And I don't feel odd about saying that as much. You know how you celebrate who you are. And I so appreciate that because that's, what I want to be.
Well, I appreciate that. And you will be that person. I know it.
Thank you very much.
All right, bye.
Bye.
I also wanted to say to all the teachers, if you guys, like I'll post this in the show notes. Kathy, remind me to send you this email. I sent a few tips to another person who was at my son's school who was like, do you have, like, we've never done Zoom meetings. We've never done this stuff. We have like a protocol that we follow where we, like how we introduce raising your hand for the webinar side. You can adapt it. So if you're using these things, it's just a really good little, like, every time you do a Zoom call, especially with your kids, when you're teaching, if you're going to have parent meetings and stuff like that, it's nice to just have like a little protocol that, like, this is how you do things. Like, we do a lot of training. Like, right now we don't do it as much because you guys have been around for a while. But when we have newbies, if you watch, we start every call with, this call is for this, and you will raise your hand and you will not be on the screen. You will not believe how much. Kathy, why don't you just write something up for them and let's put it in the show notes of this call. That will be awesome. I'll send you my email and then you can adapt something so that they can have it as a, like, just a PDF. But seriously, if you guys need help with like Zoom, do not sit there and go to people who don't do Zoom all the time. We do Zoom meetings. We do Zoom webinar all day, every day. If y'all need help with just, like, we're not going to be really great at tech stuff, like just technical, but like, why is it taking so long for the cloud to load it? How do I kick off a call? Like, you know, what should I put in the chat? And like the little things that we tell you guys, like all panelists and attendees. So if you're using webinar or meeting, we'll give you some like tips and tricks from us that will just like help you structure some of that easier so that you don't have to have such a learning curve. God love my son's school, but I'm just going to tell you that meeting, Chris and I were texting back. He was in the other room. We were texting back and forth. And I was like, they really should have reached out to us. We know so much about this shit. We could have helped them. So we will do that. I tell you what, somebody start a post right now in the tribe and for teachers and put some kind of like picture on there. So we'll know to find you. Tag Kathy or the @NoBSCoaches, sometimes that tag doesn't work. What questions are you having? We will answer as many as we can, and then we'll put it into a doc for all of you guys so that you have it. We'll do that. Okay. And we'll put our own stuff in there. All right. Let's go with Mary.
Oh my gosh. My friend Jody, like, you need to get on with her. And I'm like, I raise my hand and she's like, good job.
That's funny.
And I texted my husband. I said, keep this quiet because I think I might get called on today. So
there you go. I'm going to, your video's a little wonky. So I'm going to turn your video off, but I'll be able to hear you. It's just it's internet. It's happening everywhere. No, it's not your fault.
Did I go on my phone?
I'm going to stop your video. So okay. You'll be able to see me. We just won't see you, but we'll hear you just fine.
Okay.
Sometimes that's right now, Zoom, like literally the whole world's trying to use Zoom. It's like, I wish I had stock in Zoom.
Cool. Everybody is. I know.
All right.
Okay. So here we go. I live in upstate New York. It's snowing right now. It's killing. I can't even handle it. I am a music teacher. I was 6'12 for 18 years. I switched down to K-5. This past fall, and Governor New York was like, okay, we're all done for now. And you guys have to stay home and, you know, which is what the whole country is going through. My issue is as a music teacher, most of what I do is face-to-face contact. It's performance-based. I have to have that face time with my kindergartners. And I am so, in any of my grades, right? And I'm so struggling right now with not having the control of knowing, okay, Mary, this is when this has to happen and you need to start on this date and we are going to use this platform to teach your kids. It's sort of like, okay, the K-5 teachers, which are the core teachers, and I get that as a special area teacher, they have to take care of those, you know, 20 to 25 kids that they have in their classroom. But, you know, us music and art and PE and librarians, special teachers, it's like, okay, what are we going to do? And then my other concern is that we're going to look not lazy, but like, oh, well, you know that music teacher's not doing anything, where I'm like, I'm sweating here wanting to do something, but I.
Okay. Let's address that. Let's address your fear of what other people are going to think through about your teaching through the coronavirus.
Okay.
And we have, I'm a K-5 teacher of music.
Music, yes.
And like, basically, are you left to just figure this out or tell me like a specific circumstance?
Well, like I emailed my principal today because I have a partner teacher there. We split there's like 500-600 kids in the school. We basically split them in half. I emailed the principal today saying, hey, listen, you know, Christy and I have been working on this, but we do have a few questions. And, am I going to be able to reach out to the classroom teachers in order for them to get those students, the information that I need to give to them?
Okay.
You know,
and the answer was,
there wasn't really an answer.
Okay. So no answer.
No, none.
Okay.
It's okay. Killing me.
Okay. It's killing me.
I know I shouldn't say that, but it is.
But that's your thought. Right. I shouldn't say that, but it is.
Yes, it is.
So no response to email.
None. Well, I mean, he responded, but, you know, like that kind of administrative way of, you know, and no, I'm
that's
not.
That's a thought. Like, what is the actual response? Because you have a lot of judgment about how he's supposed to be responding to you, which is a whole nother model that leads to bullshit thoughts and feelings.
Okay.
So what is the actual circumstance?
He said, that sounds great. You know, keep working on ideas. We will be meeting on Friday.
Sounds great. We're working on ideas. We'll meet on Friday.
Yes.
Okay. Your thought is that's administrative bullshit.
Oh, this is terrible. My dad's a principal. I have my master's in admin. And let me tell you, I am very supportive of my admins. I really am. But like, I'm having trouble with not having like a clear directive. I guess
I can tell you why.
Yeah.
You're terrified about what everyone's going to think of you. So when you're scared about what people might think of you, you go ham on judging other people.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, I don't want everybody to think I'm terrible, so I better have terrible thoughts about everybody else so that everybody knows who's to really blame here.
Okay. Yes. Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm.
But guess who feels terrible through all of it?
Yes. Right. 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 Right.
So that's administrative bullshit feels like what?
Well, a frustration, annoyance. Why can't anybody give me, you know, at least a start date? I don't know.
All right. So ask pointless questions. I mean, I want you to ask yourself this. Why can't they? Seriously, if you had to take a guess why your principal sent you this email, why he can't give you a start date, why do you think that really is? Like, in his mind, in his model, is it like, what's your name, Mary? He's like, I am so glad this happened. I now get to fuck with all the music teachers, and I get to, like, spin them out in frustration, and they're going to have to be home by the refrigerator to boot. Perfect. Right. Ain't you coronavirus?
Oh my God. Well, because I don't, you know, I know he probably doesn't know because he's waiting on whatever the superintendent tells him. And the superintendent is waiting on whatever the county executives and health directors tell them.
So everybody's trying to figure it out
right.
The best they can.
Right. Exactly.
And sometimes they're not going to send you an email written in the way that you would like it.
True. Right.
Do you know what, like, other than, like, so we ask pointless questions, anything else besides, like, blame, spin out, but I can't, like, one of your other thoughts was spin out with, it was like, I can't help the kids, but it was, in essence, I'm not going to be able to teach them.
Right, because, you know, I mean, it's just, when I taught high school, they're more self-sufficient. I mean, they could get on a Zoom or they could get on a Google Meetup.
It's a no.
No?
My son had his 2 o'clock today. You know what the first thing he said when he came out of his room? They were acting like idiots, Mama, and all they did in the chat was talk about a video game. So don't sit, like, here's your mind. I would feel better if I was in high school. It would be so much better over there than it is over here.
Yeah.
You know what that does?
Okay.
Makes Mary feel like ass.
Well, yeah, because I really like my little guys. I did this, I switched. Yeah.
Why are you not thinking about how much, like, I really like my little guys?
I do.
If I was going to make this the best online music experience ever, and as of right now, I get to create whatever I want because nobody else knows what the fuck to do. Why don't I put my brain to work on that? Why am I putting my brain to work on what other people's opinions about me are, putting my brain to work on how everybody should be doing their job, except I'm not thinking about how I could be doing my job.
Right. Right.
Do you see how, like, quickly this, like, spirals out of control?
Mm-hmm.
All because of, like, little bitty thoughts, like, it would be better if I was teaching high school kids.
Mm-hmm.
This is administrative bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
They should be telling me what to do. Like, yeah. I always love how teachers are always like, I wish people would quit. I wish people would let me teach how I want. Because if I got to do it the way I wanted, I would do it so much better. And right now, you guys practically get to teach how you want. And you're like, oh my God, somebody tell me what to do.
It's true. It's terrible. I mean,
it's not terrible. It's thoughts that are ineffective right now.
They are ineffective. They are.
It's going to be so important for you guys to manage your brains before you start getting into other people's brains. Do not go into your principal's brain unless your brain is under control. Do not go into your kids' brains unless your brain is under control.
Right.
If you got plenty of work to do, Mary, you don't need to diddle over there.
I know. I do. And I think that's the other thing that I'm stressing out about and unfortunately taking out on my, you know, 2 children and my husband that are currently home. My husband's also a teacher and my kids are in 5th and 1st grade. And I'm like, you know, I can't do this if I got to, you know, figure out 1st grade ELA. And, you know, my husband, he's a high school IB teacher for music. So he's up in the loft doing his thing. I'm like, holy crap.
Let me ask you this. Yes. If you literally just decided that you were going to teach your kids because you love them so much, and that the best thing you could do for them right now is just make music fun.
Yeah.
What would you be doing?
Oh, well, I'd have my videos up, you know, I'd want them to comment back. I'd even get my own children involved in some of the songs. Dancing, singing, playing, you know, all that kind of stuff. Like, I want to do it. Like, I'm ready. I'm like stuck on that. Okay. When is it going to start? So, and then I'm also worried because this is another thing that's been happening.
What if rather than saying I'm stuck on when's it going to start? What if you're like, I'm going to be ready for when it starts?
Okay.
I mean, are you stuck? Is that a real truth? Or is that something you just keep telling yourself?
I know what I'm doing. Like, I can do this. I feel very, very confident in my abilities as a teacher. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I'm a little worried about putting it out like online and not looking like a complete idiot. Cause you know, when you're face to face, you know, you can like sort of laugh it off, or the kids will be so, you know, they feel that energy with you. I feel sometimes when there's a screen, they don't get that energy sometimes, or they're not, or they miss
it. Like, I just want you to think about all these thoughts you keep having when they're on the screen. I've never have you changed your life since you met me?
Yeah.
Have we ever been in a room together?
No, we have not.
Yeah. Because, you know, it's really hard to make connect. I don't even have your face on the screen, and we're connecting like a boss right now. You know why we're connecting, though?
I don't.
It's your thoughts and my thoughts about what's happening.
Okay.
Yeah. It has nothing to do with being in the same room. It has nothing to do with Zoom. You literally, like, I will tell you, almost every time I get off a Zoom call, I just think, oh my God, I changed lives today. Mm-hmm. And it's not because it's like, well, it's because they're all adults. That is not it.
Right.
It's because I am at the benefit of my own thoughts. If every time you have a class and you bust in there like the Kool-Aid man, like, this is going to be amazing for all of us. If you have amazing connection thoughts, you're going to leave there feeling connected. Okay. And you give the children an opportunity to feel connected.
Right.
Doesn't mean that they will feel it, but hell, Mary, I just want you to be honest. How many times have you been in the kindergarten class and had one asshole in the corner and you're like, well, he ruined it for all of us today. This was a bad day.
More often than not, the last month. Yeah.
Right. And right now you are like, I just want to go back to the classroom where it was always all about roses and connection.
Right. Okay, I get it.
Watch all the thoughts. I literally, for all of you teachers, get up early. Do not start your days without a thought download of like what I'm thinking about my teaching day, what I'm thinking about my kids being home with me in my teaching day. Like, okay. Empty out all of your thoughts and be willing to say, these are just the things I'm thinking. Which ones am I keeping and which ones am I not? If I was y'all, there's probably not ever, you may have one or two circumstances a day. Just like everything that we talked about, we could get it down to Mary teaches K through 5. She sent an email. She got a response. And now she's going to be teaching on Zoom. If there's any other circumstance I'm missing, you let me know. Oh, you have kids at home.
Yeah.
That's your story.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah.
And that's what we all need to remember. What is the actual story versus the story I'm telling myself? And if you read it, and we would all be laughing and giggling and like, oh my God, that sucks for you. If like we're all in there.
Yeah.
Stop. It's not going to help you.
Yeah, I know. I take these things better.
It's not that you usually take things better. Right now, like we're used to certain circumstances that we know how to manage our mind around quickly.
Right.
You know how to manage your mind in the classroom. You know how to do it there. Now you're going to learn how to do it here. It's not that something's gone wrong. It's like, here are new circumstances. And now it's time to like teach myself how I want to think about this. And this is what's really important for all of you. These are a lot of new circumstances. And you always say, if we could just get rid of my old thoughts, if I could just this, that, and the other. You actually are having the opportunity right now to decide how you're going to think about all of this because you've never done it before. Be really careful about what you decide to think.
Okay.
And so for you, your big work though is worrying about what other people are going to think. That kept popping up here a lot. And I think that that is the one thing that's driving your fear. I'm so worried about what other people are going to think about how I do this rather than thinking about how I want to think about how I'm doing this. I'm using that as a distraction against my own work. They're going to think you're doing it wrong. And you know why? Because everybody's going to do wrong things.
Right.
And it's a lot easier to think you're doing it wrong than it is for me to take responsibility for some of the wrong shit that I do. Because if I want you to think about this, we all beat ourselves up when we do something wrong. And so I would rather think about you being a jackass, just like you think the principal's doing it wrong and you're judging him. You would rather do that than sit and think about how you might mess things up. Rather than sitting around thinking, here's how it might go wrong, but here's also all the ways it could go right. And I think I'm just going to think about all the ways it'll go right. And I won't beat myself up when I make a mistake.
Yep.
Okay, Mary?
Sounds good.
All right, lady. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye. Amy Lynn?
Hello.
Hey, I'm going to try your video and see what happens. And if it goes to the Donkville, we'll just go right back to no video.
Okay. Sounds good. All
right. What are we going to coach on today?
So I feel like, you know, right now that I'm at home, like I feel like things should be a little bit easier because I feel like it's not too different than like being on my, you know, summer vacation or on my spring break or something like that. And when I think back to like when I was on summer vacation, I was losing weight pretty subtly. And then, you know, this school year, I haven't been losing. Like I looked at my past data and I like have gained basically 10 pounds since the beginning of the school year till now, with fluctuations in between, obviously. And even just like this past week, I gained like 4 pounds in a week. And why? I know like,
Why?
Because I was doing a lot of, eating exception foods, like having ice cream almost every day.
Why are you choosing to have ice cream every day?
Because it's in my freezer and it's there.
No, that's not why. You have a thought that makes you go get it out of the freezer.
Right.
You know what else is in your freezer? Probably vegetables. Did you run over there and get those too?
No, I did not. I did not ice eat all cubes.
So you're like, you know what? It's been a bad day. I'm going to hit them ice cubes like a boss.
Yeah. No, yeah,
so it's not because it's in there.
No.
That's an interesting thought, though, that I've never really caught anybody say out loud. I'm eating it because it's in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, but look at how much stuff's in your refrigerator and it's not finding its way to your mouth. So that obviously can't be true.
Right.
So it always means it's a thought. So what is the thought driving? Like, you know what? I'm going to gain me some 10 pounds over the school year and I'm going to like gain 4 more when I'm at home for a week because of coronavirus. Because I want to feel what instead of what?
I think at this point, it's more of like, I want to be entertained because I feel like I'm alone most, like I'm alone all day. Like I live by myself. It's me and it's something to entertain myself from feeling alone or buffering from feeling alone.
Well, what's so bad about feeling alone?
Probably just what I think about feeling alone. Like I feel like it's, I don't want to, like, it just, it's, it's the thought of like not feeling included, not feeling like I belong somewhere, not feeling like it's a,
I think those are the thoughts you have that drive, like, I'm not included. Mm-hmm. I don't belong somewhere. Those are the thoughts that are driving you to feel alone,
mm-hmm.
which though that's an easy model for you to work on.
Mm-hmm.
Super, like for a lot of you, that's the easiest models to work because like, I feel alone and here's the things that I think. And it's mm-hmm. like, decide, you know, what do you want to think about, you know, like, or do you want to think I'm not included or do you want to have another truth? Like, you know, did you say no? Are you putting yourself out to like, are you going to places where you can meet people? Are you sitting back waiting for, you know, you can do a lot of that work on your own.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So mm-hmm. you get to think about that stuff, but I want to investigate your judgments about the feeling alone. What do you make that mean? Like when you feel alone, it means what about you?
Like I'm a loser, like that I don't have other people I can talk to and be with.
I'm a loser.
Yeah.
And how does that feel?
Terrible.
Give me some other feelings. It is it probably does feel terrible, but like what, like I'm a loser.
It feels, defeating. It feels, I don't know another word yet.
That's fine. Defeating is fine.
Okay.
It's going to feel like when I think I'm a loser, I feel pretty defeated.
Yeah.
Like I feel less than.
Yes.
And then that causes you to eat, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because who wants to sit around embracing Loserville?
Like, yes.
Oh, I'm alone. I'm such a loser. You're always going to want to get away from that.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I wanted to work this model is because you need a better relationship with being alone than the one you have right now. Because you're in a relationship, like you actually aren't alone. You have you. And right now, you is not a good friend.
Gotcha.
And you're running away from her straight to that ice cream.
Yeah.
Because if there are people out there that when they're alone, their first thought is, thank God.
Yes.
Like, get all the people away. You know, yes. They have really good thought. They enjoy being with themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're thinking about what they're going to create in their life. They're thinking about, you know, like they're reminiscing about great things they've done, or they're like thinking about all the things that they want to accomplish and stuff. And they believe in themselves. And they like me. I actually like spending time alone because when I'm in my alone time, I daydream. I think about my future. I think about all the things I can accomplish and how I can get there. It's a lush experience. Like I don't get alone and be like, fuck me. I better go eat ice cream.
Right. Yeah, no. And I get that. And I think, I mean, although I oftentimes will hear people say, oh, I wish I could spend so much time alone. I've got all these people in my house. And I'm just like, you know, I don't have that experience because I'm always in my house by myself. So like, it's just kind of, it's different. It's a different, I guess it's just a different perspective of, you know, looking at my life versus other people's lives. Well,
the reason why they want to be at your house alone is because they have really great thoughts about being alone.
Mm-hmm.
And they have very shitty thoughts about the people. And they don't like being around the people. And they think the people are annoying them. And like our other caller, I can't concentrate with the people around.
Mm-hmm.
The two boys.
Yeah.
Like this is where we really see it's just everybody's perceptions.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we want to do is we have to build a better relationship with Amy so that when Amy is alone, it doesn't trigger self-loathing.
Yeah.
Because unless we go out, you know, and right now we can't,
Right.
So, like, you know, you got to, like, practice the distancing. But the only solve for you, if you don't improve the relationship with alone, is to find people to mute your own self-loathing,
mm-hmm.
to distract you. Right now, what's happening is you're distracting with food. Eventually, what people do is they'll hook up with someone and they won't feel alone anymore, but they're still self-loathing.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're in a relationship where they're paranoid the whole time that the person's going to find out who they really are, which is a loser.
Mm.
So they're freaked out about losing them because they never fix self-loathing. Like, it'll be like, you know, you have a partner now and the thought will go to, I hope they don't find out who I really am. It's only a matter of time before they figure out what a loser I am.
Right.
Being with someone, being with friends and stuff, you'll be around them and you'll be worried incessantly about what they're, you'll be like our last girl, Mary. When you don't clean up your self-loathing thoughts, when you don't clean up your relationship with yourself, you worry about what other people are going to think of you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't want them to go away, because then you go back to alone, which then you're only left with you again. That's why it's important for you. Like, that's why I didn't want to, like, we know your thoughts that are causing lonely. We can fix those easy. Like, you know, I'm so disconnected. It's like time mm-hmm. to connect to myself. It's going to be really, like, I am disconnected from me right now. Like, I'm not disconnected from people. I'm disconnected from me. If I'm feeling disconnected, it's my thoughts about me. If mm-hmm. I'm feeling alone, it's my thoughts. And I'm building a relationship with being alone right now. I want to make sure that this relationship is completely intact so that when other people start coming in, I'm ready for them.
Mm-hmm. No, that makes a lot of sense. So is that just doing more models then? Is it yeah. doing other kinds of work? Or
I would do the self-love course for sure. Mm-hmm. I would start with that. And I will actually say the accountability course, the first half is all about self-judgment around mistakes and stuff.
Right.
You could literally do that course, and rather than it be self-judgment around mistakes, self-judgment around being alone. You probably okay. could insert some of that in there. But the self-love course is good. I would do it two or three times, like for 2 to 3 months, just redo all the journal entries. But when you do your models and your thought downloads, really focus on like the opinions you have of you. Like, because if you think you're a loser, you need to do, like, I would write like for a few days, and I know this sounds like it would be painful, but I want you to do this from a place of, I'm not going to do this to feel bad. I'm going to do this to just see what all I actually think about myself. Mm-hmm. I'm a loser because.
Okay.
And what are the thoughts that are behind that? Why do I think I'm a loser? And just write them out and just write them out and say, I really want to know what's down in there, because I know they're not true, but they're going to feel true if I don't get them out.
Yeah.
And that's like the trick, is to understand that part.
Okay. So it's just, you know, like you said, going through the self-love course just over and over again to just keep going a little bit deeper each time.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause every time you do the self-love course, like there's, I think that one in particular has, I want to say, Kathy, correct me if I'm wrong, there's like 30 journal prompts or something, but it's like, there's a daily journal prompt. And every time you do it, you will see the relationship with yourself shift each time. Like the first time people usually do it, they're like, well, it was good, but I don't know that I really love myself so much more. Then they mm-hmm. do it the second time and they notice like some of the stuff that like change, some of the opinions they change, and then they level up a little bit more. We've just had so many people tell us that course in particular, and I don't think it's the teaching that I do there. I think it's literally the journaling. But it's just helpful because it makes you ask a lot of questions about yourself. But even if you start that, I would do this one first. Let's figure out why you think you're a loser. Do that.
Okay.
And like, just write about it. Like, give yourself 5 minutes a day to just kind of write and add to the list and just say, I refuse to beat myself up over this. This is not a problem. This is just stuff in my head that I've been, you know, eating ice cream and not listening to.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, that makes sense. Because like I said, you know, I've already, since I joined the tribe, like September, 2018. So like the first year I was doing amazingly well. And then I feel like the second year just has been either no progress or slow progress. And I'm like, I'm not on plan 100% of the time, but like I'm making my plans and I'm doing the assessments and I'm doing the things. And I know that it's more than likely because I'm not doing the thought work and I'm not doing the journaling that goes with it.
This is, I mean, guys, I'm going to tell you this 1,000 times. The four basics will only take you so far. It is like any other diet. They're simple, but I want all of you. I just loaded this literally today. The website has been updated. If you go to pmptribe.com, look, we now have a weight loss quick start. I want you to listen to the four basics 101. It's like what we're going to tell the beginners to do. Like this is the bare minimums of the thing, but I explain the purpose of them. The purpose of the four basics is to keep things so simple that it highlights your emotional eating. Mm-hmm. And when you're doing the four basics and an emotional eating creeps back in, it's not because the four basics aren't working anymore. It's because now we've uncovered, what do we need to work on next? Why am I eating ice cream every night? What am I trying to avoid? What feeling am I trying to create? And then go deep into that rather than just like, well, I just need a more realistic plan. And I just need to action line this more. I need to like do more plans. I need to, you know, listen to my two more. That's all good. I'm not saying there's not a place for that. But when you've been around for a while, you know how the basics work and you're doing your plan and you're emotionally eating. Mm-hmm. It's time to work on the emotions, not double down on planning more.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
This is a good call. This was like one I want to say. This was really, really good.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Now this is the stuff I wish more people would really investigate and work on, because this is where you really evolve as a person. I mean, if you think about like weight loss is good, but if you can really love yourself, you are patient for the weight loss to happen. Most mm-hmm. people are impatient on the weight loss because they just hate who they are so much, or they loathe who they are, or they don't like who they are. They keep thinking that that's going to fix it, and it just doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. I had a couple of questions. I'm going to answer those, and then I think we are going to get off here. Guys, I want to tell you, the rest of the week, we have more calls. Now, as you notice, this was a teacher-only call, and it was about loneliness and people like worried about what other people think, acceptance. There's no reason why you cannot come to any of the calls this week and deal with all your shit. So if you want to come to the other ones this week, please make sure you come. I'm an educator at home for spring break and have a list of organizing tasks I would like to complete. I make a realistic time schedule of work with some breaks, but don't get started. I put it off until the end to the next day. Instead, I sleep, I watch TV, or I listen to PMP podcasts. Do you have any suggestions or thoughts that would help me stop procrastinating? I would ask yourself, do you actually want to do that shit? A lot of times what we do is we plan a lot of stuff because we think we should be doing this and stuff. You need to, one, ask yourself, how bad do I really want to do it? Or am I doing this from a place of, I think I should be doing this? If it's from should, then you need to question, why do I think I should? Maybe this is the week I'm supposed to be Netflixing and sleeping and doing those things. Do I have judgment around that? Otherwise, it's just like anything else. You need to make a realistic plan about getting it done. And I would probably, like, if you're like really wanting to do that, like, you're like, no, you don't understand. Like, I so want to do it. Then you need to go through and be like, all right, if I'm not actually starting myself, what is the reason that I'm telling myself? Like, why am I not? Like, you need to give yourself some purpose behind it. I really want to get organized for these reasons, because probably right now you have like, I think I should do it. This is like, I need to be productive this week. This is the only week I'm going to get off. You'll have all of these punitive thoughts, and you're like, organizing is not even fun, and you haven't even tied it to a purpose, like anything other than it's going to be work. This is how I'm going to spend my spring break. If you've got a lot of shit around it, no, you're not going to start it. It's not going to be fun. But if you have thoughts around your organization, like for me, if I had 2 days where I didn't have to work, I would be organizing. You know why? Because I'd be thinking like, oh my God, there's nothing better than a good purge. I just love the way it feels when everything's out. Like, I think about it like a lush fucking experience. And guess what? I have no problems motivating myself. I was just talking to my coach this morning and I was telling her about how I've just been like, literally, guys, I don't say this to be a martyr, but I'm working around the clock, like working around the clock. I'm so all in on making sure that we don't survive the coronavirus. We're going to thrive through it. I keep telling myself we're thriving. We're going to thrive. We're going to come out on the other side of this and we're going to be badasses. And so like my whole brain, like I'm so just wrapped up in it. And I told her, I said, I feel like I'm wearing myself out. I said, it was really great until about the last day or two and it's catching up to me. And so she said, well, what would be relaxing? Cause I'll just be honest. My hair, if y'all are wondering why my hair is so blonde, my hairstylist is out of work naturally. And I had her text number and I said, I am not above bending my ass over a sink if you want to come to my house and do my hair. She's a single mama with a baby who's 18 months old with a daddy who checked out. And I said, you can come cut all our fucking hair. I know you've been sitting at home and I've been sitting at home. So I'm keeping my single mama baby hairstylist in business right now. I was like, come do it. And she said, I said, that won't feel like self-care. I said, I will sit there and I will be thinking about all the things I need to be doing and like all the things I want to be doing. And she said, what would feel like self-care? And I said, you know what? Laying in my bed tonight, planning and organizing. I was like, I just want to get out my planner and I want to like really write everything I need to do down for the week, get like everything organized and tight. I just like, that just feels like, I don't know, smoking dope. She said, then that's self-care. Even I fall into judging it. So when it comes to this, I want you to think about like, are you creating the experience? Like for me, if I can get myself organized and everything, I'll be able to like serve at a higher level. I'll be able to work more efficiently and it will be relaxing for me. So I want you to be thinking about the organizing. How am I describing it? If it's a bunch of shoulds, like then what is wrong with just sitting around this week doing some PNP shit, listening to watching TV and sleeping? If there's judgment around it, obviously it's what you want to be doing. But if you also want this, and we have to make space for it, and that's how we clean it up. This sweater came from Boston Proper. It's one of my favorites. And I will just tell you, I wanted to wear it because I literally took a shower right before I got on this call and I stunk like hell and I wanted to feel pretty. Can you share other Zoom tips? Yeah, we are going to, we're going to help you guys with that. I feel totally alone because I know I'm not the only type 1 diabetic in the group. I feel totally alone. I have trouble with low blood sugars and then I feel like I ruin my day. Insulin is a fat hormone and blocks my weight loss. I want you to go to the special diets group. That's where all of our girls with type 1 diabetes are probably hanging out. And I want you to talk about it over there. But you have some models that you need to work on. Insulin is a fat hormone and blocks my weight loss. We have type 1 diabetics who do lose weight. But I want you to think about, even if it, like if you would say like, no, 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 the doctor told me. Sometimes even the words that a doctor will tell you, it blocks my weight loss. Guys, that circumstance probably isn't useful to dwell on. Like we want to be thinking about it differently. Like, I really want you to move that circumstance. Say like, I'm going to pretend that that circumstance is now just a thought. Doctor said words. My thought is it blocks my weight loss. And it needs to level up a little bit to like, it's what I work on. It's something I need to build a relationship with. That's very different than blocks my weight loss. I'm finding it hard to adjust to a new routine. I'm just not doing any of the things I should do. Look, you've got to make a list. What are the shoulds, guys? You have to make it like, I should be doing these things. I want you guys to write all of it out. And then I want you to ask yourself next to each one. I want you to write a paragraph on why. Why should you? Be honest with yourself. And you need to take a look at it because a lot of you have a lot of like, I should be doing this. I should be doing this. And when you look at the reasons why behind it, they're not good reasons. You start seeing the models you really need to be working. But I should be doing it because I don't want so-and-so to think this of me or whatever it may be. And that is the models we want to work on. Not just the should thought. We want to go deeper. We want to look at why should you? I'm eating and watching the news too much. Turn the news off. Everyone, turn it off. This is the thing. The news is not facts. I have yet to see a news station. I watch the news some, and I've gotten to where I turned it off. The news is full of other people's thoughts. Your thought needs to be, I don't need to adopt them. It's easy to adopt them if I keep watching it. I do not want any of you adopting other people's thoughts. I want all of you to think about how you want to think about the coronavirus. Do not sit there and watch it and get yourself jacked up. This is where my coach talks to me about controlling my circumstances. You need to know when to tap out of the ring when you've had enough. If you watch the news, you can't manage your mind. Guess what? You get to decide if you turn it on anymore. Nobody needs to watch the news as like the Olympics of mind management. None of us need a gold medal. So like, let's just like say we're retired for a little while. You're not going to miss anything. I promise you, if something happens, somebody's ass will text you. We are in the day and age where I promise all of you, check in the Facebook group every day. If something fucking amazing happens or something terrible happens, I will let your asses know. You do not need to watch the news to figure it out. I'm a teacher and I'm not able to adequately plan my time to plan for lessons with all the new technology I need to learn instantly with distant learning. Hard to stay organized and have good time management. Any advice on how to deal with all this tech? And I'm not naturally a tech person. Yeah, look at your thoughts about it. I don't have time to adequately plan. Carve out some time to make a plan. Carve out some time to do the tech, because this is what I'm going to notice a lot of you are going to do. You're going to be trying to make plans to teach while thinking about how you suck at tech. I'm not naturally a tech person. That is a thought that goes in the model. That is like, what does that feeling bring up? Inadequate? Less than? Not good enough? Like, it's not a thought that's going to help you. Like, you just need to say, I have tech to learn. If that's too much, just say, there's tech, I'll figure it out. It won't stand in the way. The only thing you're doing right now is you're standing in your own way. Let's see what else is in there. Adequately plan my time. Guys, you've got 24 hours. You're going to sleep for 8 of them. You got 16 hours. And you're at home. There's 16 hours to get it done. Here, we'll knock it down to 14. I'll give you 2 hours a day for yourself. So 8 hours of sleep, an hour to shower, and an hour to do all the eating and do all the things. If you can't get it done in 14 hours, I guarantee you it's because of your thoughts. Now, I think most of you could probably get it done in less than that. But at the worst, 14-hour days. Like, I don't think we even think about it like that. I think we're too worried about thinking, I don't have good tech skills. I can't plan it's mainly I can't plan like you used to. It's like, you know what? How you used to teach? Like, you're at, like when it says adequately plan for lessons. Maybe the game has changed. Maybe you're trying to plan to teach based on what y'all were doing in a classroom. It's different now. What do they need to learn versus all the things you could teach in a classroom versus like, but if we were just going to get this done, the kids were going to turn out okay. And the kids were going to like have an amazing life ahead of them. And for the next 6 weeks, they may not learn all the things, but they can learn this. Will they still get jobs? Will they still like one day have babies and be able to raise them and change a diaper? Will they still be able to put food on the family, food on the table for the family when they're 45? I think some of us are like really so worried about what we're doing right now that we're kind of missing, like, let's take a collective breath. I told Chris, I said, they cancel the rest of the school year, we're good. We'll teach him what he needs to know. I don't think the things he's going to learn in the next 6 weeks is going to be what makes or break what he does at 35 years old. It feels really important right now because it's all so uncertain and new. But I just keep telling myself, there's so much of this stuff we're not going to do right now, and I think we're all going to survive. And here's how I know. We've been fucking up for years. I guarantee you, every one of you that have this problem right now, I don't have enough time to adequately plan. I bet you were saying that fucking shit 6 weeks ago. Every one of us bitched about time 6 weeks ago. All of you, go back and read your TDLs. See if you weren't complaining about time 6 weeks ago. Here's the difference. If you thought a few weeks ago you didn't have time, the only thing that you've got going on now is a circumstance that's magnifying a thought pattern that's been left unchecked for too long. Now's the time to figure out how to truly manage your time. A lot of us, and I've been saying this, and I'm going to keep repeating it. I keep offering all of you, if we went back like 2 weeks ago when you guys like were eating over shit and telling me you didn't have enough time and it was so hard and, you know, it's just all the things like my commute and, you know, kids, they just don't listen in class and like all the things. Would you go back if I could take you there? And would you feel bad like you were and use it as an excuse to not do life and not level yourself up? Or would you be like, oh no, it would be so different. The only thing that's changed is your thoughts about it. Whatever you think would be different now would be because you would think differently then. You get to do that now with these current circumstances. Get more of your thoughts in check. That is what we're going to be harping on for the next 6 weeks. Find the thoughts that aren't helping you. Nobody can afford, if you're a teacher, my child can't afford for you to sit around thinking, I'm not good at tech. I need you thinking, we're all going to learn how to figure out the tech. I need you thinking, it's okay if I mess up the tech some. I think the kids will still learn. I need my teachers to sit there and love the kids more then they want to beat themselves up and think this is not going to work. Think about what you can do for the kids. Not like, is it going to be perfect? Is it going to be the absolute scenario? I want all of you to do what I do whenever I come into this group, whenever I step on a stage and my brain wants to think I'm going to mess up and that like, this is the time. I just say, all I got to do is love them. If you'll spend more time thinking about how much you love these children, I mean, you're teachers for fuck's sake. You love kids. That's why you're doing it. Think more about how you can love them and how you can be the best teacher in this than you're thinking about how this isn't going to work. This is unfair. I'm not good at this. You would never tolerate my child coming to you and saying, I'm not good at this. I'm never going to get math. This is never going to work. I'm not good at organizing. I don't know how to use the tech. You wouldn't take it from the kids. Don't you fucking use those excuses on them right now. We are all better than that. Okay. This my day. I was going to not cry and then I end up crying. I love you guys. You guys are going to slay. I promise you. You will. Your result will be slay if you'll clean up your thoughts about things. That's it. Reach out in the group. We are here for you. post in that Facebook, get in that Ask Coaches, tell us like, here's my thoughts that I'm finding. Let's work on it. Right. Bye, y'all.